Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to agricultural marketing and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman, your agri-marketing pros.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. In our program this week, I'm speaking with Sarah Wyant, who is the editor for a newsletter called AgriPulse. And I think, Sarah, first of all, why don't you tell our listeners about your newsletter?
Chuck, I think that your readers would be very interested in reading the weekly updates on what's happening in Capitol Hill and around the country in agricultural policy circles as well as legislative and regulatory events. It's a nice summary, a very quick read for people who are very busy, as I know a lot of your audience is, and it gives them a way of scanning kind of the news headlines and understanding not only what's happened but what it means to them and their businesses.
This is a subscription newsletter that you do electronically. Why don't you describe what someone needs to do if they would like to learn more and subscribe to your newsletter?
The easiest way would be to go to our website, which is www.agra-pulse.com, and sign up for a free introductory issue. It sells for $249 a year, but we have a promotion right now where you can sign up and get the first month free, and basically no risk, no obligation. If you don't like it at that time, you can let us know, and there won't be any fees or penalties for canceling your subscription within the first 30 days. It's a great way to try it, and we think you'll like it.
How often or when does it come out?
We publish every Tuesday afternoon. You might think that's a little different from a weekly that comes out either every Monday or every Friday, but in Washington, we know that most people work Tuesday through Thursday with the legislative session. There's obviously work going around all the time in lots of different circles. So we come out every Tuesday with kind of a heads up of what's going to happen that week and what people can expect, not only in Capitol Hill, but again, with state legislatures and with commodity organizations and groups all around the country.
Why don't you give us an example of the types of information or articles that you have in your newsletter?
Well, this week we've got a piece that I think should be of interest to anybody who's been following agricultural policy at least since the 80s like I have, and that's a focus on the Conservation Reserve Program and what that's likely to look like in the next farm bill. We try to do things that people don't get in the ordinary news, and that is the policy and perspective that you won't see anyplace else. And there's a real focus going on right now to try to change this kind of granddaddy of all farm conservation programs into one that's more focused on working lands. And as you know, there are 22 to 26 million acres that are going to be coming out of enrollment, and so there's a huge impact in several different states around the country. And it's an issue that should be of interest to anyone who is producing things on the land as well as conservation groups and environmental interests.
When you talk about the email distribution, can you describe from a technical standpoint just the type of format that you put it in that somebody will receive?
Sure. We like to make this as simple as possible. That is that it's an attachment to an email. So any subscriber signs up and they get their own personal email sent to them when the newsletter is developed, and then they click on, and if they don't have an Adobe Acrobat, they'll need that. It's a free download off of Adobe.com. And they'll get the Adobe PDF file and just click it on and can read at their leisure whenever they pick up the email.
Who are you primarily targeting the newsletter to? Describe your average or typical subscriber.
Our average subscriber is someone who is keenly interested in following the future of agricultural policy in this country. And that's everyone from the president of a lot of the major farm organizations, commodity groups, heads of agribusinesses, marketing directors, people who are impacted by not only what's grown in this country, but how it's grown and the pricing structure, also on trade issues. So I like to describe our audience as primarily the movers and shakers, the people who want to get things done and have an influence on the process.
In writing about the issues that you do, are you primarily just providing information, or do you get into editorializing on some of the same subjects?
Well, I'd like to think that we're very balanced in our perspective on everything, but there is perspective, and I think that's one of the real values readers get, because I've been in this business since 1980 and covered Capitol Hill for a lot of that time, and it really makes a difference in terms of understanding that some of these things we've been there. there. We've done that. It's been tried before, and you understand the political realities as well as the real opportunities in some other areas. So the experience and the background that I bring to this adds that much-needed, I think, perspective, as well as some balance to the overall debate.
This is a new publication that you've started. Can you tell us anything about how it's doing in terms of acceptance, reader feedback, that kind of information?
Sure. I got a couple of really precious types of feedback in the last couple of weeks. One reader, as soon as he got his issue, sent a note back, said, "I love AgriPulse." Doesn't get much better than that to have unsolicited feedback that comes back in. The other that I got just this week was from former Secretary of Agriculture Clayton Yeider, who was very appreciative of an open letter I wrote to Secretary Johans and talked about how it was great to have someone with my experience and insight writing again on some of these issues. And he also sent along a subscription check. So it's been going fantastic so far. We've just been in publishing AgriPulse since February. But some of your readers and viewers might understand that from 1985 to 1995, I published a biweekly newsletter called AgriPulse, and I covered Capitol Hill at that time. So it's a revisiting something I've done in the past in a much different format.
Do you see other ways that you might develop this as you look down the road?
We're going to be developing some special background papers and some policy outlook pieces as we go forward into the 2007 Farm Bill. So there'll be the ability to buy those as standalone pieces. In addition, we'll be putting more content on our website. Right now, the website is primarily for subscriptions and a little bit of background on me and my family. But that's only for that purpose at this point in time. And as we grow the business, we'll be able to put more content there and more special products out. I think there's a real opportunity to specially package things, like we did a special report on 20 things you should know about crop insurance and soybean rust. And that was an added value we provided to subscribers for free, but offered for sale for others.
At this point, are you working with anyone else on this project, or is it just yourself that's not only writing it, but handling the business side of it as well?
At this point, I'm doing the majority of the work. I do have an administrative assistant, and I do have several people that I contract with to help fill in some of the gaps in terms of coverage. And an extensive network of sources. As we continue to grow the business, we'll look at adding additional people, but they're all on contract right now.
Anything else that people who are in the agri-marketing world that you might say to them if they want to consider subscribing to your publication?
I know sometimes people in agribusiness or agri-marketers think that they don't have to be so curious about agricultural policy because it doesn't impact them. And I would disagree, because I think that agriculture is such a heavily regulated industry. And what can happen here, whether it be a tax issue in Washington, D.C., whether it be an environmental issue, whether it be a production issue that influences whether or not we have 20-some million additional acres in production, or whether we have trade barriers that limit access to our export sales, all of these things impact what people sell to people in agriculture. So if the last year with record incomes in agriculture isn't any indication, when farmers have money and they do well and they have fewer regulatory burdens, they buy more products. So it all translates down to the bottom line, and I hope that they would be aware of that and understand the tremendous impact of the kinds of information that I'm providing can have on their business.
Thank you very much. I've been speaking with Sarah Wyant, who is the editor of AgriPulse, a weekly by-email subscription publication that focuses on Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C. And with this Zimcast, I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.